Moncrief on News Talk.
We're going to kick off with my very first guest, who's Michael Moynihan from the Irish Examiner. We're going to talk about the decline of the lunch hour. Michael, welcome to the show.
Luke, thanks very much.
And I believe you're lamenting the decline of this wonderful institution, the lunch hour. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, a friend of mine asked me a few weeks ago what had happened to all the lunchtime entertainment of, you know, of yore, if you like. Now, when I looked into it in Cork, there's actually quite a lot going on. But that led me on then to ask that question, what has happened to lunchtime? And I suppose, look, between flexible working time and people working from home and the kind of gradual disappearance of, you know, large, you know, employers with hundreds of people and canteens, I suppose the lunch break has been, it appears to me, in a little bit of decline. And I think we're all the poorer for its disappearance.
Well, I remember vividly myself, like years ago, there was always an hour for lunch, wasn't there? You know, and places had work canteens and the employer partly subsidised lunch. Isn't that right? And yet it all, when did it begin to change, Michael? When did lunch suddenly become not the thing to take?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I would absolutely echo what you're saying about the kind of the canteen and going down for your lunch, etc. And ever since I started looking into this, of course, it's just one of these subjects that seem to expand and expand. I did say in my column last week in the paper that with tongue in cheek, that when Gordon Gekko in Wall Street was saying lunch was for wimps, you know, that might have been one of the signs of its demise. Exactly. But my wife, who's a huge Wall Street fan, actually points out that one of the crucial scenes is a business lunch in a very upmarket New York bistro or brasserie. When I think Michael Douglas tells Charlie Sheen to get a proper suit, etc. But certainly, I suppose, you know, work has changed. I mean, there's no point in denying that. And even, as you say, the notion of a large employer with a workforce so big that it would really have to be accommodated on site. I know those places still exist, but I think there's been a gradual decline in those kind of large scale, you know, say manufacturing in particular. In the piece of the paper, referred to the experience in Ford's in Cork back in the 70s and 80s, where there were four separate canteens. There were so many people working there and at different levels and so on and so forth. So I would say, maybe ever since the 80s and the kind of decline of large scale manufacturing, the kind of the lunch in the works canteen, yeah, has certainly been in decline.
Well, to me, it was a kind of a worker's right, was it? Like, in a sense, the worker had a right to take a lunch break, you know. And then if your employer was that way inclined, Ford is a great example. Now, why did Ford need four canteens? Was that because there were many people working in the Ford plant, I presume, is one reason?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there was a huge workforce, but Dan Byrne, the man I spoke to, who later headed up Apple in Europe, so had that really interesting, you know, kind of counterbalance of views, pointed out there was an office, the guys working on the line had a canteen, the managers had a canteen, the directors had a canteen, you know, the office workers. So it was quite segregated. And, you know, you're right, when you talk about people being entitled to a lunch break, you're bringing some very interesting kind of entitlement, class, you know, all of those factors come into play. I mean, you go back to the start of manufacturing in the 19th century, I think even the most kind of rapacious factory owners realised that people did need a break, and that it became established that, you know, for people to work, they would have to have a kind of a set aside time which to, you know, eat and recuperate, yeah, etc. But of course, that feeds into, you know, people organising and socialising together, even only for an hour, to discuss matters and maybe for labour to be organised. So, I mean, the lunch break, you're right, is a very important part of the working day for all sorts of reasons.
I think it is. And even I stopped taking lunch a few years back. It seems to be not the thing to do. We've got a text, Michael. The loss of the lunch break has resulted in a burnout culture. People are shamed for taking breaks now. I mean, that's a terrible indictment, isn't it, Michael, in some ways, that it's now seen as a huge negative?
It is. I mean, it's funny, in the piece I cited this, I found online a report from the Harvard Business Review, which you would think now would be very much extract every ounce of work you can from every worker. But it really stressed the importance of the lunch break for all sorts of reasons, for health, you know, and also to show people, to show your colleagues that you were taking a break. Because I think this whole lunch is for wimps and working through is counterproductive, yeah, in the long term, in terms of your productivity, and also bad for your mental health, your physical health. And I'm saying that now as someone who had a sad pork, onion and tomato sandwich at his desk.
Good man.
An hour ago. So I know where I speak. Yeah. Yeah.
Michael, I've got to ask you, in Ford, there were four canteens. Was the food different? In other words, were the poor old workers given crappy food and the bosses were giving better? It wasn't as bad as that, I presume, was it? It was
the same
food.
To be fair, to Dan, the man I spoke to, which was for a book I wrote a couple of years ago, he said, I think as politely as he could, that the food being served was in no way reminiscent of Michelin-starred fare. So I think it was pretty uniformly bad, though I'm open to correction.
A bit rough and ready, I guess. Yeah, but no, what strikes me is, I think I read your piece, and lunch would be a great thing to bond workers together and foster a team spirit, I suppose, and somewhere as opposed to stupid team-building exercises, for instance. So something's been lost there, hasn't it? Because it must be a great way to create sort of camaraderie among workers, for instance. They can sit down and have a chat about whatever they watched on TV the night before. It can be anything at all, really, can't it? But it must be wonderfully sort of social as an activity to help people, help people's mental health.
Actually, yeah, you're quite right. I remember discussing this with someone saying, you know, the money that a lot of companies throw away on having people, you know, team build on a beach and fall backwards into each other's arms and stuff. That was quite organic if you were sitting around, even just having your lunch, your sandwich together. Because, as you say, you talk about work, and you could obviously say, you know, I'm looking for a plumber, can you recommend someone? Or, you know, my daughter's looking for a ticket for Taylor. So, you know, this kind of natural interaction that bonds people together. And I suppose, look, it's an indictment of a working culture we have now, where that has to be almost created in a very artificial atmosphere, as opposed to growing organically over, you know, your sandwiches or your cup of tea at 1 o'clock.
Right. I've noticed myself, though, that the coffee break has become more important. So, for example, we'll go off for a cup of coffee, two or three of us, and have a chat there. Maybe and coffee is a big change. Was there any coffee in Ford at all those years ago, I wonder? Because nowadays, everywhere you look, there's a fancy coffee shop, isn't there? So I wonder if people replaced the lunch break with a coffee break.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I started my working life in the mid-80s. I'm fond of reminding people that the idea of coffee then was very much kind of Maxwell House.
Yeah, well, it was unheard of, in my memory.
Hot water, yeah. And I mean, certainly, it's interesting. I mean, we're talking about people kind of working at a kind of, I won't say a lower level, but say in assembly. But I suppose there has always been a kind of a social eating function at the managerial level, the business lunch. And I think the coffee break and, as you say, getting out of the office in twos and threes, having a coffee somewhere else, has probably replaced the lunch break, the organised lunch break as such. And I mean, every 6 months you see the piece saying, well, if you didn't go for coffee from work, you'd have enough money at the end of the year to buy a holiday, etc. Yeah. But I would think in terms of like mental health, your bonding with people, just getting a break from the office or the workstation or the workplace. Yeah. I think whatever you're paying for coffee, within reason, is a good trade-off.
Another text, Michael. This is close to my heart. I worked in a pharmaceutical company years ago in Swords. I know what that company was. But we used to take 2 hours for lunch on a Friday and even had a few pints. I'm still friends with those lads 20 years on. What about the few pints, Michael? And as a journalist, I bet you're well used to the boozy lunch, were you?
Well, no, absolutely not.
Good night.
He said with some heat. Well, I would say again, times have changed in that regard in the same way as everywhere else. Like I would say, the journalism name for drinking probably goes back 40 or 50 years when there wasn't a coffee culture. If you were meeting anybody to talk about anything, you were probably meeting them in the pub.
Yeah,
and I'm sure like you would agree that there was a very loose handle on what was safe drinking or what wasn't, and nobody would have been frowning too much if a person had two or three drinks at lunchtime,
right,
would probably be in some way, shape or form able to perform their functions in the afternoon. But I mean, that has gone, I would think. I mean, even the Mad Men lunch I referred to in the column, where the drinking seems to start at 10 a.m. and pound through until 10 p.m.
Right.
I would think that has vanished from almost every profession, trade and craft. Compared to years ago,
I'd imagine the boozy lunch was part of your job in a way, wasn't it? Because you had to meet someone to get a source or a story or get information from them. So a little tipple probably helped the conversation along, did it as well?
Well, I suppose any journalist would probably tell you that if you met someone for a chat, and they said, I'll have a drink, I'll have a beer, or I'll have a coffee and two slices of apple tart, you know, you would hardly say to them, well, you have to pay for that yourself. Yeah, or, right. You know, actually, I'm not buying that for you. I'm not going to subsidize your problems for the sake of a story. I mean, that whole kind of lubricating, for want of a better word, your interactions, I think, goes far beyond journalism into sales, into all sorts. But certainly that name, I think, attached itself quite stubbornly to journalism for many years.
It did, and unwarranted, shall we say. And those days are long gone, thankfully, Michael, for our health in general, aren't they? Which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Michael, thanks very much. So that was Michael Moynihan on the decline of the lunch hour. Michael wants to bring back the lunch hour. Not a bad goal at all.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.